Okay, this is Hack Thought Podcast, Sandwich Saga, Garlic Flakes Edition, Mike Episode, theme song by Freddie Unreal of the Fangers.
How goes it, one? How goes it all? Welcome to Hack Thought Podcast, a podcast about thoughts you didn't think to think about. Remember you had that thought and you thought it expired? You're thinking maybe that thought expired a year ago? Well, check the label on the back. That might still be a good thought. I'm this week's main host. Every week we switch being hosts. This week my producer is Deepu Gill. Say hi, Deepu.
Hello, hello.
How are you doing?
Doing mezzo forte out of the loudness scale.
Mm-hmm. Is that generally how you rate, how you feel?
Yeah, and I'm a kind of a mopey guy, so I'm generally pianissimo, but today I'm mezzo forte. I'm 4 out of 5.
What would be, fuerza forte? I forget what the biggest one is.
Fortissimo.
Fortissimo?
Fortissimo, yeah.
Fortissimo? Fuerza bruta is another one. That just means with strength, fuerza bruta.
Sure, yeah.
And I think it's also one of the racing video games.
Forza, yes. Bruta, oh, yes, that's true.
2K2.
That's true.
Fuerza Bruta. It's a racing game that has champagne in it. okay. So hack thoughts are thoughts we don't think to think about. We have some house cleaning to do today because things are going to be shifting a little on the show, as you might have heard before, but we're gonna get to that at the end because there's going to be a call for action that we need from people. But the show used to very heavily rely on certain interactions with people. But we've had a request that I think is very pertinent to us, Steven.
Ooh.
We had a request from Twitter user Knights Eternal, who's a big fan of the show. He made a very specific request, which I will not abide by. He asked for us to examine a certain expression or what I would say is a maxim. Now, I won't do that because it's actually not to offend you, Twitter user Knights Eternal. It's been done a lot. A lot of people have talked it to death. So the one you requested, I actually thought the kernel in what you said was still a hack thought. And despite the fact that it is a hack thought, it's something that people don't think about, because that one is so helpless, because so many people have tried to stop that one that you requested, and he knows which one it is, we're not going to do that. So I just want to talk about maxims and cliches in general, expressions in general, wives' tales in general, homespun truths and things like that. How do you feel? Let's start with cliches. You know, cliches. Deepu is a stand-up comedian, if you don't know. Cliches have been the backbone of stand-up comedy for some time. Do you have any opinion on cliches?
They inform my line of thinking many times.
How?
You know, if I encounter a scenario and there's a cliche about the scenario, I'll assume that the cliche is true.
Like what? What's the last one you can think of doing?
They say, keep your enemies closer. And
keep your friends close.
Keep your friends close. Keep your enemies
close. Keep your friends close and keep your enemies closer.
Yeah. So I kind of put that into practice, having some enemies attend a comedy show, some longtime nemesis. Attending.
We're gonna parrot one of my heroes. How's that working out for you?
It wasn't good, man. I asked the seating director to put my enemies in the front row of the show because you know the line of thinking is keep your enemies closer.
Now, Deepu, did you really?
Yeah.
Again, that's a known fuck you of comedy. The front row. It's a hot seat position.
Yeah. Well, they say keep your enemies close. That's what they say.
Well, okay, so inviting your enemies to an event. I've been watching quite a lot of Real Housewives. I'm actually, you know, we've been doing short films for this show. And if you like just the shorts, we have another podcast called Video Hack Thought, which is just, it's just a feed of the videos if you ever can't find a video. But, you know, I'm doing something right now about the Real Housewives. I think that keep your friends close and your enemies closer is the way to ruin. I think that, like, that is just a recipe for a bad life.
That's what I found out, too. You know? That's what I found out, too. I learned it the hard way.
Now the thing is that you see that wisdom as somewhat helpful to you. Do you see, but that doesn't make you I guess there's two ways to think about it. You know, on Maxim's Knights Eternal, when it comes to cliches, I'll throw this out to you, Deepu. There's an idea in the Chinese language, specifically Mandarin, which is that there are these things they have called idioms, which we have in our language, but their idioms come from stories. They're called the Chinese idioms. And there's a philosophy that if you know all of the Chinese idioms, which are where a lot of racist things about Chinese people come from. A lot of times if people say, like Confucius say, the type of thing they'll say afterwards is a Chinese idiom, which is that they're called Chengdu, and they're stories which are then condensed to an expression. So like, what's a typical one? I'm trying to think of the more famous ones. Like, there's one about breaking a pot, like breaking a jar, like how to break a jar.
It's more beautiful. It's more beautiful when you put it back together, or something
no.
like that.
No, it's not fortune cookies, Deepu. Oh. They're really specific. Oh. So the one about breaking a jar is this kid gets in a jar, and all the little kids are like, we can't get this kid out of this big jar. Like, he's stuck in there. And they figure out to, like, break it. It's the idea of, like, perspective. There's one about whether it's good to fall off a horse and things like that. That's a very famous one. You know, we'll see about whether that was a good thing to fall off the horse. It's a very famous one. One of my favorites is this story about a man who claims he has a shield that can stop any sword, and another salesman who claims he has a sword that can pierce any shield.
Mm-hmm. That's a fun one.
So there's an idea that – so when people do those, like, racist things where they, like, Confucius say, like, the thing they actually usually do after, if it's, like, some obscure sort of odd quote, is Chengdu. It's, like, these stories. So in their language, the philosophy isn't that you'll be wise. It's just simply that you'll have such a command over the language by learning all of them. There are quite a few that you'll understand the Chinese language and to a greater extent, its ancient way of thinking better. So that's a very practical use of cliches.
To learn the language, is your saying.
Yeah. Huh. And I often find that I know quite a lot of expressions in English. And I used to think that they were trite and got in the way of me talking. Now I am sort of seeing the other side of it. Now, keep your friends close and your enemies closer. I don't know that was as famous as an expression before Godfather.
Yeah, and that advice is more pertinent to people, dictators, someone in a ruling position. Yeah,
it's a great piece of advice for Michael Corleone.
Yeah.
For a mob guy, it's a pretty good piece of advice.
If you're in some sort of real-life chess game of wits and business, then yes, that applies.
Well, I've told you one of my favorite expressions, which is not really – it's an Old West expression that's gone away, which is what's the good thing about a man – it was one of the very early episodes we talked about expressions, but we never really got into it. What's the best thing about a man pointing two guns at you? You know what he's doing with his hands. Now, I always thought that was a better expression than keep your friends close and your enemies closer. Because that's, of course, what it means. Is like people who are up front with you mm-hmm. and are your enemies, well, you know they're your enemies. They're not being duplicitous.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
They're you know what they're doing with their hands, as it were. It's not a great situation either way. Are there any cliches you like?
I like the one, keep your eye on the ball. I like that cliche because, my posture was too, I was facing up too much and
you like it as a piece of baseball advice.
Well, I like it as a posture adjustment advice. You know, I found it helpful for my posture to stare at the genital area.
Can we talk about this? Are you talking about batting or are you talking about actually
looking at someone's, ball? Like if they're a male or a ball on the ground? Because my posture was so good, you know, I was looking up. I was basically looking straight up.
Mm-hmm. And all balls, when they're in danger to you, this is a good expression because when all balls are, like, really active, they're on the ground.
Well, not when they're active. Typically, most
I'd
balls
say
are...
you really don't understand the expression even inside your chest.
No, I mean, I'm looking at balls in life, you know, balls that are just, you know, either testicles or, you know, a ball that's just in
the sun.
I guess that's a ball, but you know that you shouldn't look at that ball. You shouldn't look at that ball.
The moon?
That can really hurt your eyes. So I don't look at
the moon. The moon? Looking at the moon?
Okay, fine. You found a chick in the armor. You found it.
Oh, you think found? I'm not done. New Year's Eve. That one's down on the ground.
That's once a year. I can let that go.
Famously on top of a giant building.
Only tourists go to that event anyway, so.
I'm not that. Light bulbs?
That's more of an ovoid shape, so it's not a ball. Mm-hmm.
As opposed to the perfect spheres of testicles.
You got me there. You got me there. Mm-hmm. A lot of spheres otherwise. A lot of
there. Just there. A lot of spheres are on the ground, you're saying.
Yeah. I mean, I'm afraid. Which? Tennis balls, volleyballs.
Right. So that's a big problem for you, like if in a sort of Home Alone scenario. That they're on the ground. That you, Mr. Magoo, will wah, 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 and slip out the door. And then there's a girder comes. It swings around. And then you're up on the girder and you keep walking. But then you walk on top of a man's sandwich and you're safe on the construction. But he's angry about the sandwich and he tries to hammer you. And then the mm-hmm. building falls down.
Yep. Or even in my car, I have on my stick shift.
In his car.
I have a 8-ball, what's it called, novelty stick shift. And I stare mm-hmm. at it too much. And it's right. I've gotten bad accidents because of it.
Okay. So
paralyzed.
Are there any cliches you like?
I like none of them. I can't think of any at the top of my head right now. I wasn't ready for this.
No. Well, that's the thing about it is that it is one of those blind. Why it's a good hack thought to talk about maxims and cliches is because you either use them too much or. You don't think about them or you dismiss them. Like it is an inactive thing. It's a piece of wisdom that seems to come up. All they work to do, a cliche, in my opinion, a cliche does this. All they work to do is make you feel stupid if you're wrong. So don't look a gift horse in the mouth, right? 90% of the time, if you get a gift and you don't really like it, most people are getting you a gift because it's the thought of giving it to you. And if you want a different version of it, you get a different version of it. But if you say something to them in the wrong way, and this person's all pissy and shitty, and then they get all upset that you use it, well, then all of a sudden that cliche makes sense. You know, 90% of the time, if you get someone a gift and they're like, I need a bigger size or I already have this, you know, whatever, no one cares. It's just that they thought of you and they gave you a gift. Fine, get a new one. But if the person freaks out all of a sudden, don't look a gift horse in the mouth, well, then I was an idiot because I didn't listen to this weird expression.
I don't even get that expression anyway. Like, why can't you look a gift horse in the mouth? Is it because, like, if you look it in the eyes, then you accepted it? That's, like, the transaction? Like, oh.
I've heard many interpretations on it, and quite frankly, I don't think any of them are good.
Perfect.
But rather, that doesn't matter. I think that's the edge of comedy, isn't it? When cliches come into comedies, people criticize the wording on it, you know?
Yep.
But I think mainly the sentiment is what we have to go for here. Because I think all that maxims do is make you look so fucking smart. You know, oh my God, I told you so because of this piece of stupid stoop's wisdom. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, I knew that one. Oh yeah, of course, because blah, 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 blah. If all of a sudden you become friends with somebody that you thought you would hate in wartime, it's like, oh, war makes strange bedfellows. Okay, yeah, great. Okay, you knew that I'd become friends with this person in war. Oh my God, that we'd work together in war. You're so clever. Like, oh, you knew it. You knew it right from the beginning, didn't you? Because it was an expression. It's so shitty. And then, like, people will use them in ways that aren't helpful. Like, in reality, a cliche is not really helpful. And I also find, like, I've had this with vocab on the show, is that sometimes you'll use words that you don't know or cliches that someone doesn't know, and you end up making them feel stupider. Because if there's ever a hint, like, if you use a cliche, I'm trying to think of a cliche you might not know. I would think you...
Well, I don't know a lot, so say anything.
One in the hand is worth two in the bush.
I was thinking of that this whole episode.
Could you not remember it, or were you just thinking about it?
I was trying to think of, you know, as you were talking about Max, I was, you know, trying to think of expressions, and like the one that kept coming up is, you know, one in the hand is two in the bush, or whatever it is. I don't know what it means. I don't get it.
Right. Okay, so that's the other part of hack thought is like, we've been examining a lot of people that won't admit that they're wrong. That's been a big theme. It's like, that it's easier to – you look smarter when you say, I don't know. And a cliche only helps to make people look stupider, because Deepu might know that expression, but if I use it, if like we're talking and, you know, I'm like, oh, well, Deepu, this guy called and he wants us to do this video, and I think we're going to do it, but he wants us to do like 6 videos, and like, you know, he's only paid us for 1, but 1 in the hand is for 2 in the bush. You don't really know what I mean by that.
Not at all.
Because you don't really get it.
Yeah.
So there's sort of a couple ways to use 1 in the hand is for 2 in the bush. There's like different interpretations of it too. The way I just used it is the way a lot of people use it, which is like that what you have in front of you is probably worth even more so down the line. And then the other way is to say like that there might be more opportunities at hand. So it's a subtle difference, but it makes a difference. So, but because you've heard of the fucking expression, you can't ask me, what does that mean? And then I have to be like, you've never heard of 1 in the hand for 2 in the bush? And you're like, no, I have, but I don't really know. And then you're like, okay, well, what is it? And then it's like a whole fucking thing. It doesn't really help, does it? It just makes people look stupid, because it's just words that, like, people already, by the way, if I use a word, they rarely ask me when I, if, like, because I will, I recently was described as using words that only a irrelevant 18th century poet would use. So like I use some of these words that are ridiculous and people don't always ask what they mean. Not because they're stupid, but because I like using stupid words. It's even worse with expressions, 'cause you've heard it before. It doesn't help at all.
I'm also, I'm new to the culture, you know, come from an immigrant family. So my parents didn't really teach. I feel like a lot of that learning comes from, you know, people, your upbringing too. So I'm a little bit, you know, out of place in ways.
Mm-hmm. Now I respect so much the fact that you bring to this show an ethnic diversity that I can never bring to mm-hmm. the show. Your openness about your ethnicity,
yep.
your speaking about it very frankly and the differences between our cultures. I would like to say to all, would you identify as Indian, just to be clear? Or would you identify by your religion, or would you identify by
let's,
Indian?
Let's just go Indian. Let's just go Indian.
Would you, it's okay.
Western,
you don't want to say.
Western Indian.
Western Indian?
Yeah.
You wouldn't, but you also have a very specific
longitude,
religion, more
29,
typical.
38, latitude,
okay,
52, 27.
You don't know that. He doesn't know that. So, but you also have a religion that's specific to India. But you wouldn't identify. Yeah. That's not specific.
My point
to India,
is that I'm learning
these
maxims.
I'm not done yet. I'm not done yet.
Okay.
I'm not done yet. I appreciate so much that you bring that perspective to the show, and I think a lot of people appreciate the diversity in the show.
Mm.
To everyone living in India, I am aware that it's quite a literate country, and that many of you read. People, you also don't read. Which is where most people learn these things.
Well, yeah, I'm learning
these. I don't know if
these...
you know this, but quite a few words are in books.
And a lot of these expressions are in fucking Geico commercials. So that's where I was getting them.
Which ones are in Geico commercials?
Definitely 1 in the hand, 2 in the bush. That's definitely why it was drilled in so well. And then all is fair in love.
But that sort of comedy.
Insurance.
Like I had a teacher, a film teacher, a very great film, Lynn McVeigh, who one time somebody said, kill 2 birds with 1 stone.
Ooh.
And she sighed and said, and explained very funnily in the same way why it's a ridiculous expression. She's like, first of all, why are we killing birds? In what scenario are we killing birds? And then anyway, why are we using rocks to kill these birds? Like, what plan do we have where the hope is that we kill, that we're talking about planning, and your plan is to smash the birds with rocks? So that form of comedy, that form of making fun of it and being bothered by the words is one thing. But let's ignore that form of comedy, your Geico-esque commercials. Things like that, mm-hmm. which Deepu and several others are convinced that Geico and some advertising agencies have stolen from them. There's a bit of evidence to that. It's real. You can look it up. Let's ignore that. Let's talk about the wisdom of them. Is there any wisdom of an expression that you've heard? Or can I share maybe some wisdom of expressions that maybe you haven't heard, and you can see whether that wisdom would have helped you?
I like the one where all is fair in love and war. I love that one.
Right. But however, all is fair in love and war also implies that a lot of those people who will be shitty to you in matters of love and war, that after war, they're not shitty people. Not like someone who will burn your house down because you're, you know, doing something in war and you're in the kill your family and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The implication behind that expression is, oh, but during normal life, they are a totally fair person. I think that that ignores the fact that to most humans, all is fair in love and war and pretty much any activity where I can legitimize how horrible I am. And that the moral code of humans is pretty much, if I feel good about it after, it was fair.
Hey, I'm fine with that, man. War is
even though you're like, oh, all is fair in love and war, it's actually a stupid expression because most people will just do whatever they think fits their moral barometer anytime. It's not like these people that do terrible things in war or will do terrible things to get their love. Mm-hmm. It's not like then after that they're like, they will be like, oh, I saw you come in through the door first and you looked at that piece of gum. You can go in front of me in line. They're never that person. They're also the type of person who's like, I'm here first. Back of the line.
That's true. And you can kind of like define everything as war. You know, you can say like a business competitor is,
again,
is at war
again,
with you.
Again, I said this on the last episode, but I'll say this for new listeners
that I
as well.
Jump onto.
Don't
much.
Say yeah. That's not, you cannot call everything war. I don't think you can do that. Don't throw me in your bullshit.
Mm.
It's like he does that all the time. Like I'm like, oh, you know, it doesn't matter if you think you're nice to somebody. If you're in reality not nice to somebody, you know, that's all that matters. And people will be like, yeah, it's like how people will call me and expect me to return their call if I have to go. It's like, what, Deepu, you just attached me to a thing I don't agree with. You should call people back.
Sorry.
So you can't call every. You think you can call everything war?
Well, competition is battling, is war. So mm-hmm. That's how.
What's
I
the last
see.
Competition you were in?
I was in line to get a Metro card for the subway.
And how many people did you kill?
I didn't kill anybody.
Okay.
I could have.
Okay.
It would have been justified.
I think we did that. I think we're good.
How about the expression?
Okay. Here we go.
You are the company you keep.
I love that one. Mm. I love that one. That goes back to our Real Housewives thing and the keep the friends goes. I think that that is like so important. You are the company you keep. I think that that's one of the really good ones. You are the company you keep. How do you feel about it?
I think it's bullshit, man. I think it's total bullshit.
I knew you would.
I can surround myself with the vagrants of the world. I'm a great guy.
Well, see, that's where I agree with you is that the idea, I think there's a lot of people who think, oh, I am this music I listen to, and I am my friends, and I am, you know, my shoes and the clothes I wear, and I am all these different things. But of course, in the end of the day, you are this person in your head. You know, those are the things you do. Mm-hmm. You go and you hang out with Ted and Rachel. That doesn't mean that that's who you are. So I agree with that. But in terms, there's a great practice. So I agree with you there. That at the end of the day, whatever your situation is, that doesn't make you you. There's plenty of people listening right now in smaller areas and they don't have a lot of friends and they hate all their friends. As I recently said on a podcast, somebody asked if your friends will help you for something. I says, I don't like my friends. I'm not asking my friends for any help. There's the idea of being in a place where you don't have the circumstances to, you know, feel yourself in those situations. But I think in a practical standpoint, if you've got friends that are violent drunks, you're a violent drunk. Doesn't matter that you're not a violent drunk. If you come to a party with a few of your friends and they're violent drunks, you're part of the violent drunks, you know?
But, you know, what if you're just bad at making friends and the only people that show up around you are, you know, addicts and alcoholics and stuff?
Well, I don't like using addicts to equate them with violent drunks. Addiction is a disease.
Okay, fine.
It's the only word I would be pedantic with you on.
Sorry, I redact.
No. I just think we should say it. Well, it's important to say on the show these sort of hack thoughts because people do group them. It's like, you know, why I talk about OCD so openly because you never hear about mental illness until someone, you know, fills a bunch of frogs with dynamite and throws it into, you know, a swimming pool. They don't, you know, you don't
that's
hear.
The best.
So it really is a good time of the weekend. And so. You don't hear these words until somebody says something crazy. So I'd like to note, you know, violent drunk, that person may or may not be an alcoholic. They might just be a shitty person. And when they drink, it allows them to be a shitty person. Addiction is a different thing entirely.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody whose body has taken control.
You know, different. How about this? You know, expression I don't like. If you don't at first succeed.
No, wait. We were on a good thread there. Yeah. So if you surround yourself with bad friends, you were saying you're just bad at making friends, right?
That's what I was saying. Yeah.
Why do you need? This is another thing that I think is a hack thought that we could do an entire series on. This need for everyone to have friends is weird. It's weird, guys. It's very weird that there are certain people that are like, if they have no friend, I'll fully admit on air, there's been times where I have no friends because I have bad friends around me.
Mm.
Like, it doesn't make me a worse or a better person. If all your friends are shitty people, you don't need friends. You should be happy and at peace. You don't need to hang out with terrible people. You know, or people that you don't, you know what? You can have the highest standard of friends you want. Don't let it shape your worldview, in my opinion. But this need for friends, I see it all the time. It doesn't matter if you have no friends. Like,
so
that's not the mark of a good person.
So based on the expression, you are the company you keep. If you have no company, then do you exist?
No, it means if you keep no company,
mm-hmm.
then you are able to be the exact you you want to be.
Ooh.
You represent exactly who you want to be. And there's a large – the word friend gets thrown around so much because there's a large – you know, I am – as you know, Deepu, we work together. I told you, I think, last year. I was like, you can start to call me a friend.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And I was appalled by the comment. But yes.
But it's the point is that, like, I'm very careful about that word because it implies a level of loyalty in my mind.
Mm.
It implies a level of camaraderie in my mind. Mm-hmm. A high, high level.
Wow.
A high, high level. And quite frankly, I think people are so close to – there's two sides of it. People are so quick to think they have no friends when they have a job and they interact with people. I think there's a lot of people in your life that would consider you a friend, but they don't come over and play Xbox, you know, if you think you have no friends. And then there's a lot of people that feel bad if they don't have friends or whatever. It's like – it's not the mark of a person because maybe that word means a lot to me. So that expression – always held true, you are the company you keep. Because if you don't, there's really no, I mean, unless you really love board games, there's not a huge reason to keep around shitty friends.
That's true. Online gaming, you know, they have matchmaking. They just throw you in a
We've had TV and
match.
Books for years.
Yeah. But imagine before entertainment, before books. I mean, you had to have friends or you just had to really be good at whittling and really be into it.
I disagree. I genuinely, that's why I didn't want you to go away from this one to do more expressions so it was more like a podcast thing. I like this point.
Hmm.
I genuinely disagree. I think I would be as happy as I am, except for caveman days. I would be in civilized society, I'd be happy. I would not be happy as a uncivilized nomad. Even tribes that were civilized and were traveling around, I'd be happy.
Even if there was a group of friends over yonder and they did not let you into the circle?
Wow. See, but you never see how quick it is for you to reveal your self-consciousnesses. I set up a scenario in which I think I'd be happy in any time. And the scenario you chose right away without mm-hmm. any prompting, and honestly it was irrelevant, was that that people didn't want to be friends with me. That's what you thought the problem would be. Like you sometimes in the show, Deepu, people say that you're very self-conscious, and I think that what's great about you on the show is you're not afraid to go right. You don't even see that it's going right to your self-consciousness. You would be worried that if you were, for example, you know, a goth invader, you know, a Visigoth on the edge of Rome,
uh-huh.
living in historic Germany, you would be worried that they wouldn't invite you to go like. Kill people, to go destroy a village.
I would be bummed out, yeah. I mean, why can't I hang out with Kerberos?
Well, but that's what you jumped to. You jumped to right away. You're like, you started with saying, like, what about before there were video games and things like that? You jumped to right away, well, what if they don't include me? You know what I mean? There's so many other things. Every other person who says, could I be happy before the era of so much personalized entertainment? Could I be, let's say, before 1920? You know, before it was so easy to get books and before it was so easy to get music and things like that and entertainment and now TV and video games. And They're thinking, everyone's thinking about a different thing. You jumped right to what if I'm not included, which is a self-consciousness thing of today.
Yeah, it's a very modern line of thinking. But bringing it back to the Roman example, I would be the outcast in Rome who would be happy.
Excuse me. German example. They happen to be famous for attacking Rome.
Oh, well, let's just say I'm, you know, the outcast of Rome. I would be so happy about what happened to Pompey. I would be like, yeah, you know what? Good riddance. Good riddance. I'll have my wine.
I mean, there are jerks in every city. Are you happy when there are national and local disasters?
Only in Pompeii would I be upset. Would I not be upset? That's right. So because it's far.
You won't even stand by it in a joke, is what you're saying.
Yeah, because you're going to bring up some modern example, and I'm not going
to. I'm not bringing up a modern example. I thought maybe you would find a way to make it funny, but instead you were like. No, I'm not standing by this, even for a percentage of the joke.
No, for Pompeii, yes, 1% of tragedies. I'm totally down with it. And they get preserved, so it's like I don't really lose them. I get to visit them whenever I want. You know,
ooh, like Willard, like Psycho, like the bait, like Bates, like you're just going up to you. Hi, Pompeii.
Yeah, they can't run away from me now.
Clean up the irrigation system. You're leaving the viaducts dirty, you Roman!
Stop it, mother! I'm doing it!
I can play with your dog whenever I want.
That was our parody of Psycho through the lens of a Pompeian petrified person. And I think at that point, that's when it's time to call it an episode. Okay, we have a call to action. We're not asking for your money. We have called, if you've been a fan of the show, if you've been listening to one episode, you've seen that we call things sagas. That's how we name the episodes. Mm-hmm. We are now, in the new year, going to be very specific about what sagas mean. And the sagas will be a lot longer because there will be segments at the end that will have in-the-field interviews with things me and Deepu are investigating. In the next weeks, Deepu will be deciding what he investigates. It will be a short 5-minute interview with a hack thought we are going to go into. My hack thought, which I am announcing right here on the show as sort of an opening statement to the thesis I would like to prove, waiters and waitresses and the service industry are a desire for modern humans to still have slaves, a sort of society-approved slavery. I don't really think that the way we set up waiters and things like that. I've worked in the food industry. I've worked doing different stuff in food. And being in customer service with my own business and others, I have never been a waiter. And so this is a perfect hack thought for me to investigate because I'm bringing no prejudices to it. I have a theory on how I feel as a person being served by waiters and waitresses and bartenders. And I will be having to speak to not only experts in the restaurant industry, but I will be having to speak to you. If you know anyone who is involved at all in either the management of waiters, in having a restaurant that owns waiters, we're starting at the top here. If you've been a waiter or a waitress, if you've had to work closely with waiters and waitresses in a certain way, if you've been a chef, chefs especially, I have a certain theory about this as regards to chefs, which is where I'm going to be focusing a lot of my research on. That will be the last 5 minutes of every episode in what we are going to call the restaurant saga. That also means that there will be another 5 minutes of Deepu investigating something every once in a while. So, if you are into restaurants, this will now be what the sagas are defined by. If you know anything about restaurants, if you've felt as a diner, as I have, that when you get served by waiters, it's a little bit subservient and a little bit inappropriately subservient, call in. I've heard already before we've said this that this is an American thing, the way we have waiters kind of doubt on us and waitresses kind of, you know, be on our beck and call, that this is a thing that only happens in this country. So if you're in another country, send us an email. This is the first time ever on the show I've done this. You can find me on Twitter, B-I-G-L-I-L Weasel, W-E-A-S-E-L on Twitter, B-I-G-L-I-L. We'll have that in there. Big Weasel, Little Weasel, Lil Wayne, Big Weasel, Little Weasel at Gmail. This will be the main focus of this. The dicking around will continue, but we are trying to really corner and eliminate hack thoughts. let us know. Deepu, I'm going to ask, I guess you can either say that in a few weeks, in a 4 or 5 weeks, that people will hear your subject. But I guess I'll ask now, do you know your subject or have you thought, because I've discussed this with Deepu, sometimes I spring things on him just to make him, have you thought at all about your subject?
Well, in our past discussions, I thought that we were both investigating this topic. So I did, I had some people I wanted to talk to.
If that's what you want, I didn't want to say for sure, right? Okay, so then that's it.
I might go in and out. I might phase into your investigation. I might do my own investigation.
Here's the thing.
I do want to investigate.
If yours takes you a different direction,
follow my heart.
That direction.
Okay.
But I have a feeling as a comedian that you're going to find so many people who are actively waiters because it works as a job for being a comedian.
Mm-hmm.
You get to keep your sleep schedule. As a waiter, you get to work at night, and as a comedian, you have to work at night. I think that it's a more common job for comedians. You're going to meet more of them rather than filmmakers, which there's no advantage to working at night, really. They are a constant. I think that you're going to meet a lot of waiters. I think maybe that's what we're going to.
I know a lot of
waiters. I think that maybe that's what we're going to say right now, is it works with sort of our attitudes on the show, as I am obviously an erudite aristocrat from the year 1892. What I'm saying right now then is, until we say otherwise, I will be investigating management type figures who hire and order around waiters.
Mm-hmm.
And you will be the people's hero, as you've called yourself in the past. People can go back and listen to his defense of water guns. Can we announce that right
yes,
here? That's, that if you're a waiter, find Deepu, who is at R2 Deepu on everything. Okay?
Yep.
Your email's too long. Or at R2 Deepu on everything. If you are a waiter, find Deepu. If you are in management or working waiter adjacent, you find me. Okay? We're saying that right now.
Yep, it's
in. So you will hear for the next 2 or 3 weeks as we're building our materials. You'll hear the end of the sandwich saga. And then you will hear it is our plan at this point to do for the next year this segment. The next year we are going to be investigating this idea of waiters and waitresses, which I think is utterly bizarre. And I think it's one of the weirdest things that's gone on in this country, and that is still going on. I'm going to try and find people who are part of butler organizations. It's going to be a big part of it. Then I have a big theory as regards to butlers that might blow your lids off. I'm excited. Are you excited?
The food world will never be the same.
It will never be the same. I seriously think it will never, at least in Boston, where I am, it will never be the same. And there's a possibility Deepu will start a sort of Bastille Day in New York.
Yep.
And they might meet in the middle. Watch out, Hartford, Connecticut. These two sides are going to fight in you. Right at you. They're going to come to the middle. I am having one of those fucking bullshit days, so I'm actually very happy to be talking to you to have fun. The segment with guests is usually modeled after a game show, and in having a bullshit day, I have realized that, like, game show hosts never talk about them having a shitty day.
They never do.
Like,
Pat Sajak never was I've had a bad day.
How you doing, Vanna?
Turn a letter.
Vanna can't ever. Alex Trebek is never like, oh, I see you're from Ohio. Hey, you ever have a morning where you call a bowl of cereal a shit fucker? That's one of the days I'm having.
So on the bullshit.
What is a shit fucker?
On the bullshitometer, how high are you today? Like, is it from 0 to
11?
11. Okay, so you're
it
over
goes
10.
To 11.
All right.
Yeah. 10. 10 is the maximum. I'm at an 11.
Wow.
I really am. I did shout at a door. And it was not the idea that was to get it out. The door had done something wrong to me.
It got in your way?
So
is it a metaphorical door or actual door?
No. How deep I sounded. You're right. No. It was the mechanical functions of the door. I called a lock a fuckface.
Oh, that's dangerous. So, do you know that hitting inanimate objects is like one step away from actually harming a human?
Yeah, well, that's where I'm at. I do know that. Yeah. I am one step away from hurting.
So this is the PSA.
Let me be clear.
Get out of the way.
Let's be clear. Yeah, PSA. The good thing is here is I'm dealing with a giant corporation that I'm angry with. It's a great idea that they're not here. If they were, there's let's be clear here. There's plenty of humans I want to hurt. That's exactly where I'm at. Good, baseline. Good job, psychology. You nailed it on the head. Wow. So let's get into. You should never be violent with people. Honestly, no, you know what
should.
People.
You never should.
Violence never solves anything.
I feel like
do something.
Corporations should issue a disclaimer and an apology for driving people to such madness. It's.
Oh, they never would
will
because
own.
That would involve. This is. Let me say this rant to the people. This is the them, the they, and the it. Of course, you know. Yeah. Do you know the them, the they, the
I
it, and the me?
No.
Which is where you call them, mm-hmm. and you have a problem with them, and they say, well, it's not us. It's they. It's the it.
Yes.
So it's the it that you have a problem with. It's like, well, my problem is with the it. The it's affecting me. It's like, well, they would never let the it affect you. And it's like, okay, well, do you have access to the they or the it? And they're like, no, I'm the me. And you're like, okay, so you did this to the it? And they're like, no, the it did it to you, and the they control the it. I'm just a me. So when you call any corporation, no one has any fucking interaction with each other because you're calling a me, and they want to deal with the they, which handles the it, which affects you, but the it doesn't respond because they're controlled by the they, which is monitored by the me, which I have no access to.
And they'll never
so
say
that's
I.
That's how you deal with fucking corp. Oh, God forbid
I.
anyone says I. They are legion. Anyway, you're a contestant on our rapid hack thought.
Rapid hack thought.
Normally
oh
a
my
five
God,
minute
you gave me no warning for rapid hack thought.
Here we go. Summarize who you are as if you. I describe it like when you're on The Price is Right. Yuggity duggity duggity, the wheel spinning around. Say who you are, what you do, your website in about 5 seconds, and the wheel is spinning, and music will start, and we'll start rapid hack thought as soon as you're done.
All right, my name's Tia Levings. You can find me at tialevings.com. I'm a writer, and I'm starting a press called Giantess Press. We're going to emphasize titles that display the giant inside of us. Is that five
yes.
seconds or less?
And as you said, a disclaimer, because we do have many sexperts on the show.
Ah.
This is not the giantess fetish.
It's not the giantess foot fetish.
So
in
sorry,
fact,
guys.
Our very first line of business is to reclaim that hashtag
will,
from the perv.
I will help you. Because I feel as though those people don't need any hashtag help in finding that type
that
of
That was
porn.
A t-
anyway,
what the fuck moment.
Let's start the rapid hack thought.
Do it.
Rapid hack thought where you believe, if you believe that there's no such thing as a wrong opinion, well, that's the first hack thought you've had, because on this episode of Rapid Hack Thought, I will be telling you if your opinions are wrong. Tia.
Yeah.
Best superpower.
My best superpower or the best superpower
What's
ever?
The best superpower?
Oh my God.
What would you have as a superpower?
Yeah, so invisibility.
Which of course would be the best superpower.
Invisibility.
Incorrect. Telekinesis.
No! Invisibility!
Why would invisibility be good?
Because you can be a fly on the wall. You can know what people are doing. You can manipulate. You can do things.
Could you not, if you had telekinesis,
I don't
just build a fake wall in front of you?
Why would I want to do that?
Well, why would you want to be invisible?
So I can spy. I can be
okay,
effective.
Okay, why don't you... You could... Well, hold on. You can do that now. There are spy cameras and microphones... You know, tiny. You could just put them in tons of locations. Do you really want to spy on people?
You know what I think would be fun? It's to like be...
Oh, well, not invisibility, I guess. Here we go.
No, I want to be invisible and mess with people. And you can't do that with a camera.
What would you do?
Stand next to someone and tickle their ear or flick things on the end of their nose. Make them think someone's there and no one's... Jump out of the way.
You are describing all the powers given to you by a blowgun or Nerf dart gun. Question number two. I'm sorry, Tia. That's no points for you. That's okay. We're moving on to the next part. That is the incorrect answer. Best utensil.
Oh, the spork.
Incorrect as well. Many people will say the spork. The best utensil is, of course, chopsticks.
No.
You
can't
even. The spork doesn't do anything. Okay, I want to make this clear. The spork. I want everyone to go home today and only use the first millimeter of your fork to pick things up. You will find it a useless implement.
True.
Because that's all you get with a spork.
True, but have you ever tried to like eat cereal with a chopsticks?
I would eat cereal. I would say to many of the people of Asian culinary expertise.
They don't eat breakfast cereal.
That of course, Tia. And this is why we make definitive that your opinion is wrong. That of course, you have taken a Western attitude towards food.
I did just say
and
something.
And failed to realize that a bowl of rice and a bowl of cereal are both a bowl of grain.
Okay, so but when they're eating the bowl of rice, they're like holding it up
when
to their face
their bowl
and they're
of
shoveling
they're,
it
they're
in.
Eating, when they're eating a bowl of grain, you're talking about. So yes, you're talking about the grain. Problem with eating bowls of grain. I would say that your technique in shoveling cereal into your mouth a few feet away.
It's the milk. That's the question. How do you get
the
milk?
It's a problem? I'll tell you an issue with the milk, and I knew you'd bring up the milk, and I'll tell you what I have a huge issue with the spork world. The spork world stopped when I was a young child, Tia. I saw a spork, and I said, when will they stop combining things? What a future we live in. I grew up, I was born into a world where man had already been on the moon, and we already invented sporks. Why are there, and then I had seen spoons with straws on them inside Slurpees. Where are the spoons with straws on them where you can have it, you scoop up the cereal and there's a straw through the bottom of it that you can put it in the middle of your mouth and suck as much milk up as you want at the same time.
I did see something like that at Target once, but it was pretty stupid. And the Slurpee,
the
slushy thing is stupid.
Is the spork good, but the spoon straw spoon is stupid?
It's efficient, but you know it's also plastic, so that's just another can of worms.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Let me ask you a question. We had someone on the show about using plastic. Paper straws, everyone, cut it out. Just, they do nothing, right?
They do nothing. They get soggy. They fall over. And then somebody told me the real evil with straws, which this is
the real
the
evil,
real
with
evil
straws.
Is that it makes all the wrinkles around your mouth pucker up. Like, plastic.
Oh, vanity is my most important issue. Do straws make me ugly?
Yes. It's much more important than how many fish eat the straws.
We need to stop. Don't say it sarcastically.
No.
If people are getting uglier at all, first of all, the main thing is with fish is they do die beautiful. Like, all fish are prettier than humans. If straws are making us gross and they're killing the fish, we need to stop using straws immediately. Humans are pretty much disgusting, like, you know, stacked up lunch meat. So it is gross to me to think we could be uglier because of straws.
And once you, like, it doesn't matter if it's plastic or paper. If you're messing with your mouth wrinkles, it's the straw action.
This is endemic, is what you're saying.
Yes, it's the straw action. It starts at childbirth.
It's an endemic.
You know, little.
Same with laughing. I haven't laughed in years.
So you don't get wrinkles?
Of course. Yeah. Why? Don't do it.
Don't do it.
Don't do
it's
it.
Bad.
Yeah. Okay, here we go. Best type of pants.
None.
None is a good answer. I will say, I think years ago, you know, I've always had friends that, like, came home, they would change out of their pants, you know, the boyfriend-girlfriend scenario, you come home, the person that takes their pants off.
Yeah, get naked.
I was suspicious. I am coming around.
Yeah.
So in this case, you've answered, you know when game shows and they go, we need to look at the judges?
Mm-hmm.
That's how you've answered.
Oh, that's excellent.
That's if you had answered any type of pants, you would have been incorrect. Jeggings are the best type of pants, by the way.
If they fit, which when do they fit?
As Tia would apply to all clothing.
Yeah, exactly. Except jeggings.
No one say, I hate this T-shirt. It doesn't fit. None T-shirts fit. It's
none
like, well,
T-shirts.
It's a baby gap.
Yeah, but
tee.
Jeggings have a propensity for camel toe, and nobody needs that. Like that.
I don't have a vagina.
Well, but you can still get lumpy bits. Do you put jeggings on?
Oh, I wear a variety of spandex jeans.
Do you know?
There are jeans which are.
Come to think of about it, football outfits are pretty much the same. And they always look like they've got diapers on. Those white football pants with the big thing up the
like
butt where it looks
on.
Like they've got like a big giant maxi pad up their ass. It's like.
What is it with very strong men? You've got. Now that you point out football as well, you've got sumo.
Yes.
You've got jujitsu and boxing as well. Why do they look like babies?
They all look like they're wearing diapers. I don't know.
They all look like big babies, like jujitsu and like karate. Those giant guys, like, they look like they're being swaddled.
There are variations of the thong.
Boxing outfits look like a little bit like diapers. And
they
then sometimes those guys try and wear the long boxing outfits. That you're not fooling anyone.
And they probably all drink from straws, too.
Of course they do. do you have that's the end of it. You got 1 point. Congratulations.
Point.
That's a high score. Yeah, that's a really high score considering most people get every single one wrong.